We're talking a lot today about home. I wanted to share with you a story about a time when I almost bought my first house, my first home. It was in the late part of 1989, and I had been renting and single and moving around quite a bit, and I had come to a place where I really wanted and was longing for a home, where I could put down roots, where I could feel safe. I was selling real estate at the time and was making quite a bit of money. And people kept saying to me, you know, you're a top producer and you're living in a one-bedroom apartment. I mean, this doesn't make sense. You know, you need to get some real estate. You need to buy a home. For one thing, you need a tax, you know, and it's true, I was paying more tax than I even want to talk about because I had no deductions. You know, the conventional wisdom is you need to now buy a home. You buy real estate in California because that's always a good investment. You want to invest your money and it'll be safe. And so I was really looking for that. I wanted to feel safe. I wanted to feel secure. And I was longing for that sense of peace. So I went and I looked and I found this condo that was beautiful, had a view. I really liked it. I wrote my check for the deposit. There was a 3 days that you could change your mind. And I went home and I prayed about it. And I went into meditative prayer and I got a very clear answer from God, no. Do not buy this place. I was furious. I started yelling at God, but I did go back and I got my money back and I canceled the contract and I went into a tailspin. I went into a pretty deep depression at that point because I just did not understand. However, shortly after that, maybe a month or two later, I can't even remember, I felt the call to the ministry. I started exploring that. I found a seminary, and I knew that if I was going to go to seminary, I really wanted to live on campus and fully be a seminary. And I was able to do that because I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have a place I was rooted to. So I was able to move right onto campus. They had student housing. I rented a student house, and I was able to do seminary fully on campus. It was wonderful. After seminary, I was technically homeless. They kick you out of student housing once you graduated, and I didn't yet have my first call to a church. But a friend of mine that I met in seminary owned a very nice house in Danville and that had a guest bedroom and invited me to live in their guest bedroom, which I did, until I was called to serve a church in Pennsylvania. Again, no roots, no obligation, wasn't tied down to a mortgage, anything else. I moved to Pennsylvania, and we all know that's where I met my husband. All kinds of things happened there. I moved back here. The point is, none of this could have happened had I not listened to God and tied myself down to a mortgage and a place. There's another piece of irony here. If any of you are remembering the real estate market, 1989 was the top of the market at that point. Shortly after I canceled my contract, the real estate market took a deep dive. Boom, rocketed down. I would have lost my entire investment. I would have lost my entire down payment. 20%, as we all know. At least at that time, it was 20%. God was right. I needed to let go of attachments and just be free to follow the path that I was called to follow. And what I learned in those years was that real security is in listening to the guidance of the Spirit. I was better off trusting that than all the conventional wisdom that was telling me what I should do. Real peace, which I was craving, real peace comes through prayer and meditation, which I can do anywhere. I didn't need a condo to sit down and pray. The home that I was longing for was my home with God. Union with God. Now, that is something that few of us achieve completely during our earthly life, but we can draw closer. And we can recognize that longing for what it really is and not confuse it for something that it isn't. Not think that it can be satisfied on the physical plane, because it can't. Walking the spiritual path requires that we come to terms with that longing and trust that it will someday be satisfied. Our home is with God. Speaking of our spiritual ancestors, I'm going to repeat some of the scripture we just heard. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. For them and for me, the home is with God. Because we are not fully united with God, we are constantly traveling toward that home, listening for the call, moving in the direction that we think we are supposed to go, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing journey. And along the way, there are moments of challenge, moments of travail, and moments of sublime beauty. We do get to rest along the way, but then there's always that next mile to walk, that next valley to cross. And I think for most of us, the journey is home. And the more we can let go and trust that God is guiding us and holding us, the easier it becomes. I'd like to share with you a story from Henry Nouwen's book called Our Greatest Gift. He writes, "When the circus came to Freiburg, I will never forget how enraptured I became when I first saw the Rodleys move through the air, flying and catching as elegant dancers. We became good friends, and I traveled with them for a week. One day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of the troupe, talking about flying. And he said, 'As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public must think that I am the great star of my trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him on the long jump.' 'How does it work?' I asked. 'The secret,' Rodley said, 'is that the flyer does nothing, and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I simply stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar.' 'You do nothing?' I said, surprised. 'Nothing,' Rodley repeated. 'The worst thing the flyer can do is to try and catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to watch Joe. It's Joe's task to watch me. If I grabbed Joe's wrists, I might break them, or he might break mine, and that would be the end of both of us. A flyer must fly, and the catcher must catch, And the flyer must trust, with outstretched arms, that his catcher will be there for him. I think I will have arrived home when I can trust God like he trusts his catcher. Truly, completely trust that God will be there for me. It's odd to think of home as flying through the air high above the earth, but that sort of freedom and trust in God must be an amazing homecoming. Coming home is not about putting down roots and becoming more and more attached to this piece of dirt or that house or this rock or that image of what I think my life is supposed to be. No, coming home truly is letting go of all that binds us. Letting go of all the things we think we need to be safe and secure. Letting go of everything we depend on except God. Letting go so that we can just fly through the air to God. It's not easy trusting in that way, but Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out." Abraham was seeking a homeland, an actual place, a land that he would give as an inheritance to his offspring. For us Christians, the homeland is the kingdom that we carry in our hearts. I am a homeowner now. I have a mortgage and everything. And I love my home. It's a wonderful place to be. And a place to work, and a place to live with my family. But it's not a place to get attached to. We are called to be in the world, but not of it. The kingdom of which Jesus spoke is not a physical kingdom. It is the kingdom that we carry in our souls. And only there are we truly at peace. Only there are we truly at home.